welcome to another exciting episode of National Vehicle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the hijacking of free speech, because I'm going to hijack Dr. Duke's show from the Rents Network, and I'm going to fly it to Havana, Cuba. No, actually, I'm going to fly it to RBN and use it for my show. So, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed funded 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719. Extension 3. The operator is standing by. Okay, that's what I needed to do. So now we're just gonna splice your show right in here.
All right, that'd be great.
Okay.
I'm going to play that, but I'm going to talk primarily about what is Zionism, what is Judaism, what's a Jew, and why understanding Jewish power is just as important as understanding Zionist power. How's that? All Jews are not Zionists, and all Zionists are not Jews, but there is... preserve our rights. I got Dr. Slattery coming on with me in a second. Maybe he's here now. Are you there, doctor, yet? I see your logo. Doctor, are you there? Apparently,
I had to mute. Why did I do that?
That's fine. Well, I'm glad to have you on. Okay, so I just started off with a little message there. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to try to go into this earlier than I have done. I've been playing this very interesting dialogue on electronic intifada, and the host of Intifada was talking, and they were talking, and this was another guest that he had on, was talking about the fact that Palestinians are being considered anti-Semitic and hateful because they call the Jews of Israel that are genociding them, destroying them, torturing them in the prisons, stealing their land, committing all kinds of atrocities, that these people are Jews. And how dare the Palestinians say that these are Jews? And I think the Arabic word for that, or the Palestinian word for it, would be Ahudi or Ahud. And it's kind of interesting. And so that makes them an anti-Semite, even though Jews themselves call it the Jewish state. So I'm going to go back to this interview, kind of, and I'll give you a couple minutes before we get to the new stuff, but I want to play it again so people understand the narrative here, because today I want to understand, and we can talk about other issues today as well, but I want to begin by trying to understand what it means, what being a Jew means, and what Jewishness means, both in terms of religion, both in terms of the political state of Israel, which is not, even though it's called a religious state, about 20% of Jews obviously don't even believe in God. And you have a lot of people that have a different conception of these things. And you even have laws in the state of Israel against teaching Christianity. We've proselytized in Israel. It's a felonious crime that can put you in prison. That's the reality of it. And the Jews have attacked not simply mosques, Muslim mosques, but also Christian churches. They destroy one of the biggest and one of the oldest mosques in the entire world in Gaza. And after they rebuilt it a few years ago, they completely destroyed it. If this would have been one of the oldest synagogues, that would have been worldwide news. But everything is a differential issue from the true truth of things today. We live in this day, kind of a insane dystopian universe, so to speak, because we just have a narrative controlled by the Googles of the world and the YouTubes of the world and the Facebooks of the world. And the Wikipedias of the world rather than the realities. So let me go back to this, and I'll start with this, and we'll stop it occasionally, and we'll make some quick comments and try to get through this today for the what we've been waiting to do for a while. So here we go.
Is translating the sense of what makes most sense in the context for the audience. And these are not always easy questions. And, you know, yes, it's true, of course, the word Yahud in Arabic is the word for Jews. But in this context, it's very clear they're talking about Israeli soldiers who are shooting at them when they're saying Yahud. So it's not inaccurate to describe them as Israelis in the subtitle, in my view. Nonetheless, there's a wider point, really, that Ali made very well on X about the nature of Israel and how they describe themselves.
Context
is important. It's very common for Palestinians in Palestine, in the West Bank, in Gaza, perhaps Palestinians in Israel, to refer to Israeli Jews as just Jews, el-Yahud, Ishu. You know, the Jews came to the village, el-Yahud Dammaru, the Jews destroyed a house or whatever it is. In that context, why do they do that? I mean, there's a couple of reasons. One is because it is Israel who identifies itself to the Palestinians as the Jews. That's the right. Israelis say, and it's now part of their constitutional law, always has been, that Israel is the state of the Jews, and the Jews are the only people who have sovereignty between the river and the sea. And they use Jewish symbolism, the Star of David, the menorah, for their state. They put the Jewish symbols on their weapons, on their tanks, on their warplanes, on their uniforms. And the system of rule that Israel has imposed is one of what B'Tselem, the Israeli human rights group, accurately describes as Jewish supremacy. The reason Jewish...
I love it when I hear people... like, for instance, himself is Middle Eastern, talk about Jewish supremacy. And so many Jews are talking about Jewish supremacy, a term that I think was most responsible for getting that widely accepted as a terminology. Because for me, it was an obvious terminology, because people were talking about, the media told us how evil, quote, white supremacy was. And yet the truth is that there's another kind of supremacy we're not allowed to talk about, but is certainly an amazing reality in much of the West in terms of our media. They really dominate media. The six biggest media corporations in the world are Jewish controlled, and Zionist Jewish controlled even. And it's very interesting to talk about that. It's interesting to talk about how that Jews, it's not just that Jews have an outweighing or an overwhelming percentage of political monies and the power that money means in American politics, but it's so overwhelming, it's so incredibly overwhelming that it's shocking in terms of their ability to control American politics. For instance, 90% out of the 20 biggest billionaire contributors, and it's those billionaire oligarch Jews, this ethnocracy that dominates America. And they're not just Zionists, they're Jews. And years ago, before they were Zionists, many of these Jews had a big influence on our government, some of the biggest banking houses. Bernard Baruch, very big supporter of communism. Jacob Schiff, who was head of the Cunnelob Company, one of the richest people in all of America. He was one of the biggest funders, and you can read books by the Jewish Publication Society talking about how he was the biggest contributor. He used to give millions and millions and millions of dollars hand to hand with Leon Trotsky, Lev Bronstein, who became the first head of the Red Army, who lived in New York for a good bit of time. And they so Jews and the New York Times supported the rise of communism, did the incredible mass murders of communism, which was an overwhelming Jewish movement, hit the mass murder of the Ukrainian people, which was called the Holodomor. Well, today it's called it, but it's not talked about yet. A United Nations convention a United Nations organization with the leading historians of 24 nations, including America, other nations of Europe, and others, that they estimated that the death toll was 7 to 10 million people. I think it might even have been more. I studied it when I was studying for my doctorate in Europe. So these are the realities in the New York Times, were Holocaust deniers and hid the fact that the Soviet regime and Lazar Kaganovich, which was the man who was overseeing this mass famine. So most of these deaths, between 7 to 10 million, if that's accurate, I think it is, the Jews are Holocaust deniers, though, because they try to diminish the numbers of Jewish crimes. But even Ynet News talks about these things. So Jewishness is a factor, and it's not just about Zionism. And it's true that some Jews are Zionists. Most Jews, I think, are Zionists and supporting Israel. In fact, I saw the latest figures from the American Jewish Committee doctor who said that specifically that Jewish support for Israel in the face and the reality of this massive genocide and destruction and death of tens of thousands, maybe, 50, 60, 70,000 children died. I think it's probably the most accurate figure. It's way more than what the official figures are. That this mass murder, it's so mind-boggling to think about it. But they cover up this. They diminish this. They're Holocaust deniers is what they really are in a real sense. Just like they deny the Holocaust of the Jewish Soviets that killed so many Christians. And just like, by the way, right now going on, there's so much evidence that the Ukraine war is actually, it's not an ethnic war of Russians against Ukraine. Russians keep saying they love the Ukrainian people. Ukraine was part, Ukraine as well as Belarusia, Russia was part of the Kievan Rus. That's the foundations of the Russian state and the Belarusian state, what became the Belarusian state. And Ukraine, which is a name for borderlands, the center of it at one time was in Kiev. These are the same people. But the Jewish manipulation and the takeover of communism put lots of Jews in power. The difference of Ukraine and Russia was that under Putin, they overthrew the Jewish oligarchs' power, and Jews became a big enemy of Russia. But Ukraine never had that respite. While Russians overthrew communism themselves and overthrew the Jewish oligarchs that ran communism, Ukraine didn't have that luxury. And with their power in media and their power in government, they created the institution of this Jewish control over Ukraine, physical control. For instance, Zelensky, who's a very big Zionist, makes trips to Israel all the time. He was a product of Kolomoisky. Now, Kolomoisky, you can read a Bloomberg article about Kolomoisky and how even Biden, would try to distance himself from Kolomoisky because Kolomoisky had a big interest in the Burisma oil thing, of which Biden's son was involved in this bribery. In fact, Biden threatened the government of Ukraine if they prosecuted or if they looked into the investigation of this firm and Kolomoisky and these others, that if they would be absolutely punished by $1 billion of aid would be stopped from Ukraine. This is all factual, people. This is public statements that Biden made. I mean, talk about corruption and talk about criminal behavior by Biden. It's amazing. But it's important to understand that Kolomoisky, that Zelensky was this Jewish comedian, dopehead and cokehead and marijuana head. He used to do his skits playing the piano, supposedly with his penis. He went to this person that was given his persona in this television show called Man of the People or something like that, where they created him.
Servant of the people,
yeah. That's similar. So they created this epitome of this person, like, oh, he's a patriot for Ukraine and blah, 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 blah. They created this. And then he was the biggest supporter of Ukraine. Now even Zelensky, I mean, I got pictures of him all in the first meetings of the government, how there he was. And Zelensky tried to claim that he separated himself from Kolomoisky. Because Kolomoisky was one of these Jewish oligarchs that took over the country, ran the biggest the private bank in Ukraine. I know all about this. I was in Ukraine in 2004, 2005, 2006 for a while. And he literally stole $5 billion from the bank that the government used as well and helped finance. And he stole $5 billion. He is a big Jew who hated Russians, was even giving bounties on those Russian-speaking people in the eastern part of the country who were being attacked and murdered by the Kievan-controlled government after the Maidan Revolution, which was created by the Jews that ran our American State Department, Victoria Nuland. And the Jewish Secretary of State at the time was none other than John Kerry, whose real grandfather's name was Cohn, not Kerry. It wasn't an Irish name. And it was interesting because the Jewish establishment created this whole Ukraine situation, as Jeffrey Sachs so shows in his own article, that the same people who gave us the Iraq War, which is a war for Israel, are the same people that gave us the Ukraine War. And this was because fundamentally of this old ethnic hatreds that they had against Russians. So getting back to this thing that we're talking about now, it is important that we start thinking about the term Jews. What does Jews mean? And why is it that even though whatever Israelis that are Arab, and there's some percentage of those that have some rights in Israel, even though they're the redheaded stepchild or whatever, which is silly because I love red hair, but anyway, of Ukraine. But it's really amazing how that this Jewish government over Ukraine has led them into a genocide, not as much of the scope as the original Holodomor, but 1,200,000 is what the latest estimates are. And Jeffrey Sachs, who's really connected and really got a lot of sources, he says it's at least 1.2 million dead, probably an equal amount wounded and their lives destroyed by this, the economy of the country destroyed, which was an unnecessary war, and it was provoked by Ukraine. So if you look now, we're going to go back to this tape now in Israel, and it's basically said by people that if those Palestinians dare identify their oppressors, their murderers, their rapists, and they are, even homosexual rape they committed in the Israeli prisons, which is documented and proven. It's been tapes on Israeli television. If you talk about them as Jews, that's anti-Semitism. It's not considered anti-Germanism to say the Germans invaded Poland. It's not anti-Russianism to say the Russians invaded Ukraine. But Jews identify themselves as Jews in Israel, not as Israelis. Yes, they chose the name Israel for the country because they knew this would get a lot of favorable attitude toward people, because most Christians, because they...
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Because they knew this would get a lot of favorable attitude for people, because most Christians, because they read about, they got the Bible, they read about Israelites, they, you know, Israel is a nice and a good and a positive name. But these this Israelite country could not ever be considered under the covenant, because they're not even, most of them aren't even religious at all. And most of them are atheists that reject God. And as far as Christians are concerned, they shouldn't be an ally. They're actually an enemy. They hate Jesus Christ. And there's been a kind of a war between Jews and Christians for the last 2,000 years. But it's interesting how that we can't even use the term Jews because they control the media. And if you use the term Jew, if you talk about Jewish atrocities, Jewish rapes of Palestinians, even though the head Jewish leader of the Jewish religion in the military, the chief rabbi of the military that tells Jewish soldiers, terrorists actually is what they are, tells them, you know, what their morals are and the laws and precepts and the religious devotions that they have or the religious obligations. Now, the American soldier, the American chaplain, for instance, in American military, would say you shouldn't commit war crimes. Obviously, you should not rape the innocent. You should not rape men, women, and children. But that's wrong. and you've got to obey the Geneva Convention. Now, the head of the Israeli Judaic minister to the Israeli army is a guy named Karim, and on his very blog, and he's been there for a long time, 9 years, on his blog he said that it's perfectly permissible by Jewish law, by the Jewish religion, for Jews to rape attractive Palestinian women or Gentile women. It's perfectly fine. And the guy just venously says, he says, quote, he says, and why is it good for, you know, the Israeli troops to rape Palestinian women? Because those troops need a rest. And that's, you know, it helps them deal with the difficulties of war, that they have a chance to rape these non-Jewish women. Again, the racism is amazing. So it's amazing how the only time they want to use the word Jew, when you talk about persecution of Jews or harm to Jews or, you know, Jewish hostages or something like that. But they don't want the word Jew to be used in the context of the genocide that's going on. They don't call it a Jewish genocide. No, they call it an Israeli genocide. And so he's going to go into some other parts in here. But do you have any comments on that quick before we go back to the video? Go ahead.
Just really quickly, it's so important, the language, the narrative, the information. Really, I think we were talking about this before the show, even more important than Jewish money, Jewish weapons, whatever. It's information and, in fact, the power of being able to lie and not get called out for it.
Yes. We were talking about this. We'll talk about this later. But it's so interesting that so wrapped up within Judaism, in the Talmud, for instance, and some places in the New Testament, it's so emphasized that deception, by deception they'll sell, wage war, right? And they feel like they've been waging war for the last 2,000 years, and Judaism has been kind of weaponized in that period. Just really literally about a century and a half before Christ, Judaism became its present form. Before then, Jews didn't follow a lot of the rituals. I mean, you can find Jewish archaeological sites, as explained by Jonathan Adler, who is on the archaeological board. It's common to find Jewish sites where there's all sorts of pig bones, and where these Jews were eating pork, which is a very serious offense in Jewish law. Also, we find out that they weren't obeying the Sabbath. We find out that just a whole bunch of things were going on here, that you couldn't make graven images, but they had, even before about the second century, they actually had in Judea minted coins, they had images on them. For instance, when the Greeks were on, they had images of that they minted themselves with Aphrodite, a Greek goddess, right? Which goes against every sort of Jewish law. And what Adler explains is the Jews were more amorphous. They were certainly had an identity as Jews, but they...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the rebel madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Howdy, cousins. This is RBN host Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn, asking you to please support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voices to spread truth and relevant information, to gain a deeper understanding of the adversary, and to gain knowledge for survival against the gradual erosion of the Republic. But in order to sustain this incredible communications network, RBN needs your financial contributions. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 1-800-724-2719, or mail your donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
You know, I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like it makes me feel like.
Which goes against every sort of Jewish law. And what Adler explains is the Jews were more amorphous. They were certainly had an identity as Jews, but they had a much looser thing, and they had more intermarriage and so forth even then. But after their defeats, he says that the reason why Jews became so racist was they had a series of defeats. So Jews were scattered. They were probably more, even at this time, there were probably more Jews outside of Judea, a really small amount of what was that Middle East area, and Israel, which was a northern kingdom. There's probably more Jews living in other countries, whether it be Babylon or whether it be different parts of Canaan, different parts of the world, different parts of the Middle East, say Alexandria in Egypt. We can talk about Iraq. What is today Iraq? What is today Iran? What is today Afghanistan? What's today Greece, Rome, the Mediterranean region? And these Jews basically developed the thing, okay, so we've been defeated. We're around the world, and it's not so much they've been dispersed. They voluntarily left for greener pastures, so to speak. And these Jews developed basically the idea that if we really intensify through the Jewish Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, another Jewish, the Tanakh, the other books of the Old Testament, if we can intensify Jewish rituals, which would separate them from the people around them, forbid intermarriage, and make it a really hardcore issue, the institution of circumcision to be almost always practiced with their kids, because that was a very good barrier to mixing. And then the idea that if a Jew marries out, or a Jew is associated too much with the Gentiles, they will be expelled from the Jewish community, and therefore the Jewish gene pool is really kind of interesting. And this was all started by what's called the Maccabees, where these Jews were angry at the Greeks and the Syrians, not because they were killing Jews, but because they were giving Jews equal rights. They were allowing Jews into their academies of science and philosophy and history and medicine, all these things. They were allowing them, their sons and daughters to marry their own sons, and the Jewish sons and daughters to marry their own daughters, and vice versa. And there were different religions which they still honored, though they said that, you know, it's fine for Jews to have their God, but, you know, again, please stop. You know, we want a unity in our country. Please stop, you know, preaching that all the other people in the world are evil. But, you know, so there were some problems there. But the issue was not the fact that they were being killed or suppressed. It was, the issue was that they were assimilating. So when they had the massacre and take over Jerusalem, when they did this, they literally massacred not just the Greeks and the Syrians, which are part of the elite rulers over the country in that time period of Greek domination and other domination. And when in that time period, they literally killed a lot of Jews, because they had intermarried with non-Jews. And these radical Maccabeans then realized, once they were defeated again, where the Maccabeans ultimately lost the Hasmonean Empire, or what they call the dynasty, which wasn't a dynasty, it was only a few short decades. But as the Jews separated, they realized the only way they were going to preserve the Jewish identity and these Jewish messianic ideas in the Torah and in the Talmud of world domination. And that was the really scheme. I guess people dreamed of world domination by a lot of different sources throughout history. But the only way they were going to possibly keep the Jewish identity intact was very strict ritualistic behavior and laws which separated from the Gentiles, forbidden intermarriage, and making sure that Jews married and reproduced with Jews. And this was really the basic rule in terms of the creation of the modern synagogue structure throughout Europe. And in some ways, the laws and the adoption of the Torah laws and strict adherence to those laws and the Talmudic laws was really the very instrument of the creation of the Jewish genetic unity, as well as, of course, their cultural and their other secular even identity, in terms of their people, their heritage, their values, where that was put at the very height of what they wanted. It was basically like the Hollywood version of Nazism, extreme form of Nazism, but the Jewish way they would present Nazism. It was like Nazism on steroids. So that is, and over the centuries, that produced what the modern Jew is, to the point that they're like fifth cousins. Now, I'm not just talking about their genes. They're like fifth cousins genetically on average, whereas the average person at random in the world is like a chance of being a fifth cousin to some random person from the world that you would meet would be 200 to 1. But the average Jew was like fifth cousins to each other. And that's interesting. You were far more related to Jews, say a Jew in Russia, even Ashkenazi Jew in Russia, was more related to a Sephardic Jew in Spain, or a Mezari Jew in what was the Middle East, than they were to the people that lived next to them in Russia, or the people that lived next to them in Germany, the people next to them in Spain, or the people who, it was the same kind of principle, because they were inbred, but they were also, of course, raised in this ideology. Every day of their life, they were taught about the superiority of the Jewish people. And the Jewish religion taught that the Gentiles all wanted to kill them. They were all genocidal against them. Everybody hated Jews. and that Jews had to band together and promote themselves, otherwise they would all die. And this was the ideology, and this was the practice of Jews for the last 2,000 years. And that's why there has been so much unity. That's why there's the 50 biggest Jewish organizations in America, which are worth $24 billion, are all dedicated specifically to the Jewish people. You can't have one organization that would be openly devoted to, say, the white people as a whole. You know, but you can have 52 organizations dedicated to the advancement of Jewish interests on every level. Your real thoughts, and then we'll go back to the your final thoughts on that, and we'll go back to the interview.
No, it's there is absolutely a the Jews, especially the Ashkenazi Jews, but not only the Ashkenazi Jews, are a very interesting subject for genetic inquiry. And they, if you look at their history, you look at their religion, you look at their culture, it's almost as if it were designed to create a particular gene pool. And this is something that Kevin McDonald talks about a lot. He calls it
Jewish evolutionary strategy.
He refers to this as an evolutionary strategy. When we're talking about, you know, evolutionary strategies in biology, it's not as if somebody's sitting in a room somewhere planning things out, but it's as if there were.
Yeah, it's like an animal.
Winds up being, yeah.
Yeah.
And
as strategies develop because of just the vagrancies are the aspects of what's called natural selection, because some activities or some behaviors lead to the, you know, preservation of the particular subspecies, and some don't, correct?
And the factors that have gone into the creating the Jewish gene pool the way it is, some of them are unique or at least unusual, leading Kevin McDonald to proclaim, you know, part of it is their religious tradition, and he proclaimed that the God of the Jewish Bible is the Jewish gene pool.
I agree. And in fact, I've been talking about this article a while. I recommend it to you. You can go to My Jewish Learning and just look up Must Jews Believe in God? And this was written by secular Jews and religious Jews. And they just to point out within the Jewish faith itself, it's not even necessary that a rabbi actually endorses and believes in God. And Jews can do all sorts of ungodly things, like Rabbi Shmuley, right, who has a dildo store and promotes pornography and all sorts of other horrors, right? Rabbi Shmuley, the one that Candace Owens has the problem with these days. So it's kind of like it is a strategy. And you know what? The interesting thing is that these Jewish laws and this Jewish racist ideology that they pursue, it's like ultra nationalism, except it's on a global basis. And maybe that's really the origin of what we call globalism today, because Jews have always been globalist, especially since they faced those defeats. They see Israel not as, you know, as like the entity that they, you know, support. No, Israel is like at the pinnacle, or it's like the symbol of Jews, but the whole diaspora, the whole Jewish people that are outside of Israel, are all part of that Israel. And it's their job to get the world in line for what they think are the best things for Jews. Okay, let's go ahead and continue on this. This is really interesting. And this is interesting because you're going to hear some things in here that we're going to take issue with.
Settlers are allowed to steal Palestinian land and cut down olive trees and build settlements in their place is solely because they're Jews, solely because they're Jews. And the reason that Palestinians have no rights whatsoever, no matter how many generations back they can trace their families in Palestine, whether it's the right of refugees to return or the right of Palestinians simply to exist on their land, is solely because they're not Jews. Solely because they're not Jews. Palestinians expelled in 1948 and not allowed back by Israel solely and exclusively for not being Jews. So the only relevant identifier is that the Israeli soldiers are coming as representatives of this self-identified Jewish state. So there's nothing extraordinary about this. We wouldn't consider it strange if Jewish people during World War II referred to the Nazis as the Germans. It doesn't mean every German was a Nazi or supported the Nazis, but in the context of the war, it made sense because that's how the state identified itself. And it also predates the existence of Israel, because when the Zionist settlers came to Palestine starting in the late 1800s, they came not as Israelis. There was no such thing as Israel. They came as Jews, and they said, we're coming exactly. here because we're Jews. Exactly. Of course, I don't make the mistake, and this is very important to underline, I don't make the mistake of equating Jews and Judaism on the one hand with Zionism and Israel on the other. That's an equation Israel wants us to make, and it's one that Palestinians generally don't make in the broader context. They don't equate the Israeli soldiers who are coming to murder them and expel them from their homes with Jews generally all over the world. So we're talking about something that is in the specific context of Palestinians in Palestine.
Now, there you go. Now, Dr. Slattery, I can't wait to get your opinion here, too. Let me express mine real quickly. That's a weakness. Not understanding that this is first a result of Jewish hegemony, that Jewish power around the world, and as a people possessing a lot of loyalty to Judaism. Now, that doesn't mean that all Jews are necessarily pro-Zionist. There are certainly percentages of Jews that are not. But when people say that Judaism and Zionism are pretty much synonymous, it's basically true, because practically every major synagogue, there are some Jews that say, and by the way, these are these fundamentalist Jews that say you can't really have a Jewish state. You're not allowed to do that biblically or in terms of God's will until the Messiah comes. But these same Jews believe that when the Messiah comes, Jews will rule over the entire planet. I mean, it's pretty amazing. So that is a technicality. But not understanding that this Jewish hegemony and this Jewish loyalty to Jews and this Jewish sense of identity is absolutely critical to the infiltration of governments, to the infiltration and the control over media around the world, to the funding of rich Jews, oligarch Jews of the Zionist project. Your thoughts real quickly. We still got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
And this is the big problem that we face, and not being able to having to be so hypersensitive about everything that we do, having to or having to be sensitive to Jewish hyper paranoia about everything. No, you know, even Ali Abu Nima, he's talking there, and he has to make it very clear that he and other Palestinians they're not blaming all the Jews for what the Israelis do and all of this. You know, look, this is a Jewish state, and why do we have to trip over our toes, trip over our feet every time we want to say make any sort of criticism against Jews or as a group or Jewish power? They don't do it to us. I mean, they just listen to everything they say about white.
That's right. They talk about those doggone Russians, don't they? And those doggone Germans, what they did to them. And in fact, even what the Ukrainians did. Thanks for being with me, Doctor. We're out of time, but let me just wrap it up now. But I love you, and I'm so glad that you were with us today.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, I'll just close by again saying, what Ali said here is not true. It's simply not true to suggest that the Jews and the Jewish state and Zionism has not subsumed most of the Jewish religion, such as the chief rabbi, which is another Yosef, as like his father, who said the only purpose of Gentiles on earth is to serve Jews, who called Palestinians insects and so forth. And yet he's probably the most effective or the most major Jewish figure in Judaism. Just, you know, to say that they haven't subsumed Judaism and that Judaism is not reflective of this is not true. And Judaism in it, if you really study it, if you read the Jewish Encyclopedia, which gives you a very good glimpse into...
She was more like the beauty queen from a movie scene. I said, don't mind, but what do you mean? I am the one who dance on the floor and around. She said, I am the one who dance on the floor and around.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Whole, not fractionated, not standardized, not adulterated, but pure and nature-made for excellent digestion, absorption, utilization, and elimination. Colorado Shilajit is raw, whole, unadulterated, and alive. Pre-processed Shilajit, imported from Himalayas, Russia, China, Pakistan, are most often cooked, boiled, smoked, and if it's legit, definitely beneficial, but maybe not truly whole. Only raw Shilajit provides the perfect balance of humic and fulvic acids with a complete essential mineral spectrum that is required to effectively energize cells and remove toxic metals, forever chemicals, synthetic hormones, pesticides, herbicides, and more. Pure raw Shilajit. Legit Shilajit. Colorado Shilajit.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org. Watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by Mynutra. Why is Hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like Hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy Hemp Paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
Judaism is not reflective of this is not true. And Judaism in it, if you really study it, if you read the Jewish Encyclopedia, which gives you a very good glimpse into the Old Testament and a glimpse into the Talmud, you realize that they don't view even human beings being Gentiles. Gentiles are not even human beings. And I told you a lot about Leitman. I talked about that yesterday in that article, New Animal Anti-Semitism, saying that all Gentiles are born Jew killers and evil. Anyway, go to my website, daviduke.com. There's lots of articles on this subject. Please go to my Gab at Real David Duke and go to my Odyssey at Real David Duke. We're doing great work here, and we need your support. I can't even get a credit card processor. But if you could support me and my work, I'd much appreciate it. I love you, and I'll be back again with you tomorrow with Mark Collett. Thanks. Thank God for you, and thank God for this truth that we're sharing. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, I got to go.
Okay, take care.
All right.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what the Goyim say. You're riding high in 1912, shot down on D-Day. But I know I'm gonna change that too. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life.
That's life.
And it seems to be the case. Antifa like to get their kicks stomping on my face. But I don't let it get me down. Cause this dreidel world, it keeps spinning around. I'm called a racist, a bigot, a hater, a Nazi, and KKK. I've been through Washington and Charlottesville, and I can say, each time I find myself punched right in my face, the Jewish judge locks me up because of my race. Well, that's life.
That's life.
You know, that's what they tell you. Porno and fentanyl, babe. That's what they sell you. And if you don't mind your P's and Q's, you're gonna find yourself in trouble with the Jews. I'm called a racist, a bigot, a hater, a Nazi, and KKK. I've been to Washington and Charlottesville, and I can say, each time I find myself punched right in my face, the Jewish judge locks me up because of my race. Well, that's life.
That's life.
You know, that's what they tell you. Porno and fentanyl, babe. That's what you tell you. And if you don't mind your P's and find yourself in a heap of trouble with the
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Truth, truth.